Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the Monday morning recap. It is about 5:45 on the East Coast right now. Perfect time for the Monday morning recap. Sean, you're going to have to put up a thumbnail of Joe Burrow in his fur jacket. Or what was that he was wearing into the stadium? Was it faux fur? Was it real fur? Was it?
I think he would say he's too rich for faux fur.
Mm-hmm. I think so, right?
Yeah.
Because somebody asked him if the diamonds were fake on the chain, and he says, I'm too rich for that.
Well, he said, I make too much money, which is slightly less obnoxious, but still pretty obnoxious.
You know what wasn't obnoxious was his fucking game, dude. How are the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl?
They've beaten the teams that they played.
Yep.
That game against Kansas City, not terribly surprised by that.
I am. Look, it was 21-3 at one point. It looked like it was going to be a blowout.
It was 21-3. I was at the gym watching the first half. I'm like, well, I'm not even going to bother to go home for the second half.
No.
I watched, thankfully. I caught a live line, actually, Bengals plus 11.5 when they were down 11, just because it looked like the Chiefs were starting to like just fuck around, mm-hmm. and they were bored.
Yeah.
And I was like, Chiefs probably win this game, but maybe it's like a one possession, like Bengals backdoor it. And Mahomes played maybe the worst 5 minutes of his career.
Yeah.
At the end of this game.
I agree. And the other thing, too, that I keep going back to with that game was if you score right before halftime and don't make that mental mistake of throwing Tyreek Hill in the flat, and it was clearly a check down, you know how much time you have left and you have no timeouts, those extra points would have meant the world at the end of that game. And you're right. The Chiefs just seemed like they were fucking around and they didn't care.
I don't know if I agree with that. I think that play at the end of the second quarter was choking.
For like, Mahomes?
Yeah, making mental mistakes like that aren't because you're out of focus. When you're in the red zone, you've got focus again all of a sudden, right? A couple of decisions he made once they got right down there were fucking stupid.
I mean, even the end of the game, right, where he fumbles the ball and almost loses the game.
Oh, my God, dude.
I think he fucking felt the pressure and buckled under it. That's what I think.
Well, look, nobody was expecting the Bengals to win. They were playing with house money, so it didn't matter to those guys. Mm. I mean, shit. The only thing you were trying to do was just not get blown out, and it looked like he was headed real. It was this close to going 28-3, and that's ball game, essentially, unless you're Tom Brady. But
yeah, you didn't, should know better.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
but they're not playing the Falcons either. So you got a kid who's in his second year in the league. The team won 4 games last year. He has no offensive line. He got fucking blown up. What do you have? Torn ACL, MCL last year?
His whole leg got amputated and got replaced by a goat leg.
Yeah.
It was a big goat, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, he's succeeded. Like, Patrick Mahomes succeeds, one, because he's great, and two, because his team is great. Joe Burrow succeeds because of Joe Burrow. You know what I mean? That might be it might not seem like a distinction, but it is different because that kind of performance is resilient against bullshit. Mahomes is not resilient. Not yet. He could become. He's a smart dude. He plays football very, very well. As good as I've ever seen any human being play football. So it's not like we're this is his fucking swan song or some shit. He's 25 years old, for Christ's sake.
No.
This dude, he's going to win at least 2 more Super Bowls, if I had to guess.
The other part about it is this is his 4th AFC championship that he's been to in a row. He's only won 2 of them.
Mm. Yeah, well, we forgot to factor in Andy Reid.
Yeah, 2-4 in the NFC championship, still a lot better than fucking Aaron Rodgers ever did, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's already won 1 more than Aaron Rodgers ever did. So.
I just can't believe it. You know, the meltdown that the Rams had in the second game, or the 49ers, that I can believe.
That was expected. And even the end of this game, right, where they're down 3, Chiefs have the ball, they're moving it down the field with ease. Like, Kelsey's just kind of nickel and diamond.
There's too many
time.
Weapons.
Yeah.
There's too many. Like, they've now Pringle, all of a sudden, is what Mecole Hardman was, and Mecole Hardman's one step up. So you've got, like, 4 dudes plus Pringle, who can all run fast as fuck, juke, and catch the ball. I mean, that's, if you can't get it done with that, although sometimes with Andy Reid, he's outsmarted himself a couple of times in his career. And having that many, I wonder if having that many weapons at your disposal fucks with you. You know what I mean?
It could.
Like, yeah. I really think it might. It's like that, the worry that the Warriors had when Kevin Durant came over, like, where are all the shots going to come from? How are you going to find a natural rhythm between three of the best scorers in the entire NBA? That's a lot to put on one team. And I think they may be overbuilt a little bit, honestly. I think it's slowing them down to have so much all the time. Look at what Burrow did. He lost his fucking tight end in the second quarter and fucking played. He got more and more efficient as the game went on.
Yeah.
It got to the point, though, where Kansas City moved the ball down the field so fast towards the end of the game that Tony Romo was legitimately saying, let them score, which I didn't understand at all. The Bengals are up three. Like, why the fuck would you not try to play defense and hold them to a field goal?
Yeah.
That was, I didn't get that from Tony Romo. But
he's got a lot. He's gotten a lot of criticism for that today.
Yeah.
I can see it, though. It's worked before. Belichick's done it before.
Yeah, but you do that when you're tied, right? You don't do that when you're up three. You hold them to a field goal.
You try to. Yeah. He was just assuming they were going to score. Right. Yes. Like, oh, hey.
I mean, that's a relatively good assumption, though.
Yeah, right? For the Chiefs. I mean, you're like, well, all right, fuck it.
Yeah, you don't expect Mahomes to run around for 20 seconds and then just drop the ball.
Craig Dulesky just asked, or did Kansas City just get too cocky? I don't think that at all, because I saw dudes that were fucking frustrated and out of breath.
They shut down Hill.
That's not what cocky looks like. Cocky isn't frustrated and out of breath.
Right.
Like, they don't understand why they're losing to the fucking Bengals.
They made the adjustments, and I mean, Hill, I don't think Hill had a catch in the second half, right?
No, let's see. I bet the over under on my bookie, and it was 6.5. And he had 7 by halftime. So I know that bet had already cashed, and I was right. Like, all right, cool. I'm good. But the ones that I lost on were Mahomes. For 298, the over-under was 298. Mm. He had 225 at half. He didn't hit that. He only had 50 yards.
276 or something he finished with?
He only had 50 yards in the second half. The Chiefs as a team only scored 3 points total in the second half and overtime.
Did you have that Joe Burrow over 8.5 yards rushing
ticket? No, I didn't have
any. Because he's running around like Lamar Jackson out there.
It was crazy. I didn't have any of those.
Well, he's – come on.
Yeah, I know he's an athlete, but like,
he's moving, dude.
I don't expect him to run for like what did he end up with?
I think he had like 38 yards or some shit like that.
Yeah, that's
right?
Not what I expected.
No, for him, that's a lot.
No, that's a lot. He's
the over under was 30, maybe.
I think he hit the over so far in two of his three games for rushing, and it's only because defenses are better in the playoffs, and that motherfucker is running for his life 24 hours a day. Yeah. He's probably running right now.
Yeah.
Like, he's probably fucking...
running, yeah.
He's got post-traumatic stress from getting rocked on every single fucking play.
At the game you and I were at, there was 9 sacks against him. I mean, it's fucking nuts, dude.
He's still won,
going to the Super Bowl.
Still won. He's a winner.
He is, no doubt. It's just... it's absolutely fucking insane. The other thing, too, that was insane to me is looking back at that LSU team, how great that LSU team was. Yeah. With Burrow, Chase, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's fucking gnarly, dude. I mean,
that's definitely the best offense ever.
Ever.
In college.
Ever.
That's LSU, though, right? Like, so they won national championships with Les Miles and fucking Ed Orgeron.
Yeah.
And people don't think Brian Kelly's going to go down there and actually win a national championship with all that talent.
Oof. He'll win one. He'll win one in the next 10 years, probably.
Next 5 years.
Maybe. Well, I mean, over the next 10 years, he'll have won one.
Yeah.
It may be 5 years from now.
But like, I just see that video on TikTok of him dancing with the recruit.
That wasn't great.
He's all about it.
Nope.
I mean, two high school janitors essentially just won fucking national championships with LSU. Brian Kelly's a good coach. Like, LSU owned, like, it's a machine.
It is, but he's never won a title. So,
well,
we'll see.
We'll see. But speaking of winning titles, Zach Taylor is a pretty good coach. I mean, you
end up. I got to apologize to Zach Taylor.
Yeah, you do.
You called him a piece of shit.
Yeah, he sucks.
Yeah.
Until he didn't this year.
Until he went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's the, what's his name? That tall, gangly fuck that never played a down at quarterback in his life that's on the ESPN. What's his name?
Mina Kimes?
No,
I'm kidding.
Tall, dangly fuck.
Gangly. Gangly.
Okay, gangly.
The dude that's on first.
Orlovsky?
Yeah, Brian. Or is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually like him.
He played.
He was
a backup quarterback.
Yeah, he's famous for running out of the back of the end zone with the Colts.
Yeah. Great play.
Yeah, well, not so much. But
great play, Dan. Dan Orlovsky.
No, I actually like Orlovsky, but he said earlier this season that there are three types of coaches. Coaches that play a game and then go back and watch the tape and figure out what they should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people who go into the locker room at halftime and be like, all right, we have to make these adjustments and come out and change. And then there are people who within a couple of series understand what the other team's doing and make adjustments. And Zach Taylor has done that so far this offseason. And that should not be overlooked. I know they only went 10-7, but he might be the coach of the year here, right? For taking that team to the fucking, I mean, their defense is pretty good and shit.
Yeah.
But damn, man. I mean, to get that kind of performance out of a rookie as your top receiver, a sophomore who's only played 7 games so far in his career.
Yeah.
Not bad.
And I love Andy Reid, and I think he's one of the best coaches in the NFL of all time. But that's always been his rap, right? Like, he comes into with a great game plan, but like him making adjustments on the fly, not so great.
No.
It's hard to pivot when you're a walrus.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that fucking dick. Like, how are you supposed to, like, maneuver with that?
No.
The other, and here it is.
And flippers.
Way, audience, boom. This is a walrus stick.
You got a tail, 2 flippers, and a giant cock. How are you supposed to move around fast?
The other thing, too, I think about Andy Reid is you had those. I thought that Philly team was always pretty fucking good. The KC team is pretty fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is him versus the teams that he inherited once he got there?
Well, no, he built that. And he built Philly, too. Philly was terrible when he got there.
So he got Mahomes, like he had input on that decision?
Yeah, he drafted Mahomes.
No shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because some coaches aren't allowed to do dick.
Andy Reid is Andy Reid, though, right?
Also, people weren't sure about Mahomes at all coming out of college.
No.
College wasn't sure about Mahomes until his last year.
With the Tech. Like,
yeah.
Like, he walked on
to
Tech.
He won 6 games a year at Tech.
Yeah, it wasn't that great. The team wasn't that great. So, yeah, I didn't know how much input he actually had. And, you know, others before him have asked for it, like Bill O'Brien for the Texans. He had gotten everything. He wanted to sit in on draft picks and everything else.
How'd that work out for him?
Terribly. Which is why they don't do it very often.
They fucking traded DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
That was his problem. He was a decent coach, just when it comes to like managing the roster, like leave that alone. Same with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly got too much power in Philly, and that was his downfall.
Yeah. Where is he at?
He's at UCLA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There he is. He's back.
Go Bruins.
He's probably the highest paid public employee in the state now.
Probably.
It's either him or the Cal Berkeley.
Got to be Lincoln coach. Riley. At USC now.
Now it's Lincoln Riley.
USC. Or USC's private.
Private, yeah.
Private, yeah.
Public, between public schools, you have UCLA and UC Berkeley, like Cal.
Yeah. Oh,
people forget USC's private.
Exactly.
Hand up, I'm that person.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Speaking of which, Rams had a big game right afterwards. I'd never felt like that game was in doubt, even though they were down double digits heading into the fourth quarter. Still surprised they were able to do it. But it felt like Shanahan just choked that game away the same as he did with the Falcons and the same way as he did with the Chiefs as well in the Super Bowl.
I think it depends on the perspective you're seeing the game from. Like, if you're seeing it from the middle perspective, I guess, it might look like he's choking. From him, I think they just ran out of talent. You know what I mean?
Look, they didn't have any talent to begin with. I can't believe they got this far. You do.
Yes.
When your top
their defense is great, Kittle's great.
Have no running backs, and you're down Debo's to a wide great. Receiver. But you can't give your ball to the wide receiver every fucking play and expect them.
Their problem is the quarterback, and it. The last play where he threw that interception was just, I mean, poetic. For like what Jimmy G is.
Yeah, if you saw the press conference after, everybody's pretty aware that he will never play quarterback for San Francisco again.
Ever.
Right? He's probably heading to either Denver.
Hello, Pittsburgh.
Maybe
Pittsburgh.
Maybe.
He might be heading back to New England to be a backup for Mac Jones, to be honest, because that was Belichick's boy back in the
day.
So we'll see what happens, but he's not going to be playing for San Francisco anymore.
Because he's scheduled to get $22 million this next year, or it's a $1.5 million cap hit for the 49ers. So
yeah, what do you think they're going to do?
You know
about
which
that?
Route they're taking there, and
that would be $22 million would be about $100,000 per yard he threw for in this game. So probably not worth that.
And you got your future on a rookie contract. So
At least the next 3 years on that contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait, was he wasn't the number one pick, right?
No, but he's first round pick. I think he has 4 years.
It was a 5-year deal that was signed in 2017. Look, good for him financially. He rode that motherfucker till the wheels fall off.
No, we're talking about Trey Lance.
Oh, Trey Lance. Yeah. I don't know what he's going to be. Him and Justin Fields, I have no idea what they're going to be yet. They've shown flashes of greatness,
mm-hmm.
but Then there's other parts where you're just like, man, that looks like a shitty quarterback. I have no idea what Trey Lance is going to be. They've mortgaged the future on him, and they have a team with talent once they start getting some running backs and receivers in there to help out Debo Samuel. So he's not playing.
I don't think Jimmy starting over him was like a reflection of what Trey Lance is now. It was more, for whatever reason, Jimmy just keeps winning games. Mm. Yeah. So like, why fuck with that formula?
Yeah, I agree. And it's why have this kid fail? And especially you made it this deep in the playoffs. It clearly worked. I don't know how. And that team is gross, and I'm glad they're gone. But I did not have preseason-wise, you had Rams winning it all.
But I mean over the Browns.
Who did you have? That's right.
I think I took Tampa Bay to repeat.
That's right. And I had Chiefs beating Tampa Bay. None of that is going to happen.
You know, I was close, though. In-state, right? Sure. Bengals.
Sure.
Bengals, Browns. Yeah. Like, I saw it. I'm like, Rams are playing a team from Ohio.
Yeah.
It's got to be the Browns, right?
For sure. No, it's never going to be the Browns.
Never be the Browns.
That's your first mistake. It'll never be the Browns ever.
When was it ever going to be the Bengals? That's fucking wild.
Joe Burrow. I mean, that's the only thing you can say. And like, whenever I get shit on for putting too much emphasis on the quarterback with Baker Mayfield and their decisions there, because you weren't around back then, but we did a live draft show, and I was screaming at the Browns to take Josh Allen, and it was like, fuck you, and then Baker wins up winning the rookie of the year and all that other shit. And I was like, dude, you can't sustain this at that size or you're going to get killed. He's currently in the hospital now, having his 90th surgery, and he's done with that franchise. But it does go to show you, if you get one guy, Burrow is single-handedly taking them there. I mean, it's fucking crazy.
Well, they've got a pretty good team.
They have an okay team.
Okay team. It's him and Jamar Chase.
Yeah. I could have seen them losing that Tennessee game if Tannehill wasn't so shitty.
Yeah.
He threw three or four picks in that game, and it came down to a, you know, last-second field goal. This came down to an overtime field goal.
They are ahead of schedule.
Way ahead of schedule. And their offensive line still looks like shit. Dan, it's like you were saying, he was running for his life the entire time. Fuck, man. I can't remember a team getting this far without something to really hang your hat on of like, oh, man, you've got the best offense or the best defense. Even with that shitty Tampa Bay Bucks team who I hated years ago.
What about that Eagles team a few years ago?
Yeah, same. Where it was just like, dude, I still can't figure that team out. Nick fucking Foles is a Super Bowl champion.
Right.
Like,
you play to win the game.
Yeah, you do.
You don't play to put all the pieces in the right spot. You play to win the game.
I understand it. It's just hard wrapping your mind around a team that is just not dominant on really either side of the ball. Like,
well, the Bengals are the fifth best run defense in the league.
Yeah, which is okay.
They're top third, I think, in pass defense. So that defense is beyond, it's more than serviceable. If you're top third in both categories, you can usually win quite a few games just on that. Now, they lost quite a few games because...
A ton.
They
lost to the Browns twice this year.
You can only expose a fucking... a defense to so... We talk about this all the time. You can only expose a defense to so much pressure before shit starts to go wrong. It doesn't matter how good they are. And nothing brings on three and outs like getting sacked. And that motherfucker gets sacked more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like five times a game he gets sacked.
Yeah.
So,
and to be fair, the last game against the Browns, they didn't play.
No, they didn't play, but
that's true. But even if they had, it still would have been the same. They would have been sacked like 15 times.
Browns
like
played the first game.
Garrett would have torn somebody's asshole out of their body.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we got a guy, Franco J, says, does Aaron Donald murder Joe Burrow in two Sundays? That's all I kept thinking watching that game last night, the Rams game.
I mean, they're going to stack him and fucking Von Miller up on the same side, and they're going to come after Joe Burrow
big time.
I think they're going to let Mixon run and do whatever the fuck he wants there, but they're going to try to murder Burrow.
They're going to try to tee off on him. Yeah. They'll probably put Jalen Ramsey on Jamar Chase. I mean, look, you still have T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, so you're fine, but man, that's tough, especially little Joe Burrow back there going against Aaron Donald.
But at the same time, I think it's going to come out after the game, win or lose, that fucking Stafford's going to have surgery. I think he's hurt.
I do, too.
You think it's his arm? He's throwing a lot of balls really high. Maybe it's his plant foot.
I think it's his shoulder.
Things wrong with him, too. He had, like, back and hip.
He had a broken back at one point. Yeah. Something is definitely wrong with him, and this was brought up maybe with two or three weeks left in the season, and I think it's carried over. Who wins this game?
I think Aikman even said it, right? He's like, I think Stafford's hurt.
Yeah.
I think he said it during the broadcast. Well, who wins the game, or who do I want to win?
Look, last year, because I usually put $5,000 on this game just to do it, right? Usually we take the winnings that were up from the year. With college football and then all these fucking 13-point teasers, has been a decent year. Last year I went with gut, and this one I'm going to do the same thing. I am with everybody else in the country when I think everybody wants to see Joe Burrow win the title year two.
I picked the Rams to win preseason, and I want the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
Same.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a blast.
Yeah, I like Burrow.
If you're trying to get tickets to this, by the way, on drinkerbrostickets.com, tickets are fucking astronomical. Because this still is a home game for the Rams, and LA loves nothing more than to jump on a bandwagon, and congratulations, the fucking wheels are rolling.
They had to deal with noise yesterday.
Yeah.
Because there's so many Niners fans.
Niners fans, yeah. And then Niners fans
They had to
travel.
Go silent count in the red zone because there were so many Niners fans.
The only thing that I worry about as far as like Cincy fans is these ticket prices are so fucking high. Usually it's a team like behind the scenes, like, you know, running ticket companies and shit. Usually you want a team like Chicago or something where it's like a bunch of rich people from a city. There's not that many rich people in Cincinnati. And it's like to fly to LA to get hotels and then to drop $6,000 a ticket for uppers. That's a big ask for a lot of fucking people.
What do you think the richest man in Cincinnati does?
I think he
owns WKRP.
RIP. Johnny Fever just died. Yesterday. I don't know. I know this. They have like one five-star restaurant, and I've been in Cincinnati a few times. You got Skyline, obviously,
right?
But that's about it. Cincinnati is it's a dead city. I'll put it this way, and you know my hatred for Houston, just as a city in general.
Yeah, Houston's not great.
It's not great. I would rather go to Houston than Cincinnati. And I went to Ohio State.
Well, yeah, I don't think I'm going to Cincinnati's probably not a top 50 destination in the country.
No.
Maybe not even top 100.
No, no. And I've never been to a game there that's even been like halfway filled out. Reds included, because I've been to a lot of Reds games as well.
Well, they probably can't afford it.
I don't. So I don't know how many Bengals fans are going to fucking travel. So we'll see. We'll see. It'll be loud as shit, though. Every celebrity and their mother wearing Rams gear fucking cheering for that.
Do you think
bullshit?
They put a lien on their house to go?
Some, yes.
Yeah.
I'll put it this way. My dad is actually a huge Bengals fan. He's from Ohio. My stepdad. And he's like, look, he was the one who texted me right afterwards and was just like, dude, we haven't even been in the Super Bowl since 1989. I was like, oh, shit. It feels sooner than that, but.
Plus, you get the entire state of Kentucky.
Yeah. You get some of Indiana a little bit. Who aren't Colts fans?
Right.
Because you're right on the border of Indiana as well.
I think everybody that's not a Rams fan is going to be wearing Bengals shit.
I would agree. I'll be rocking a Rams jersey just because it's the only thing I have for the seltzer party. But
part of me, though, also wants to see Kroenke happy so Rob dies inside.
Oh, yeah.
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 So that's like kind of I win either way. I get to see Burrow win or I get to see Rob just absolutely miserable.
Somebody, let's see. St. Louis won a title though in St. Louis with Warner, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so he's got one. What greatest the fuck show does on Rock
turf. Here? Oh no, he hates that they left.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously.
He just hates Stan Kroenke.
Next up, let's see here. There's a ton of shit to talk about today. Is this Daniels deal done to be the head coach of the Raiders? Do we know that yet? For Josh Daniels?
I don't know. I mean, Adam Schefter reported it, so.
Well, Adam Schefter also reported that Tom Brady was retiring, and that is not the case. What he failed to mention was that the Bucks owe Tom Brady $15 million on February 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have reached out to Brady
and
gotten a comment before running that fucking story the day before the AFC and NFC championships.
Well, he was on TV this morning, and he said, Tom Brady's going to take his time and blah, 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 and whatever, but he is retiring. Like, dude, whatever you did was wrong. Like, whether you were supposed to hold on to that information or whether you reported it based on hearsay and you happened to be right, now's not the time to double down. I don't know if you've been watching the media lately, but nobody fucking trusts any of you cunts, especially you who've been going behind our backs for years. right? Giving these fucking dudes preferential treatment, the owners in the NFL. Like, come on, man, you got no integrity.
Yeah, so, I mean, it says right now, sources, LA Raiders expected to hire Patriots Josh McDaniels as a coach, and then name Dave Ziegler as their GM. It's a home run if they end up getting McDaniels. However, his stint in Denver did not go that great. Is he a head coach and there's a lot of pressure? And
he was super young.
You think so?
When he was in Denver. Yeah, I think he's a good coach. I think he'll be a good...
Can be a good head
can
coach?
Can be a good head coach, yeah.
All right, we'll find out. I thought that they were going to stick with the fucking guy who was the interim guy who got him to the playoffs, but fuck him, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Classic Raiders.
Yeah.
Got to get a name in
there,
dude.
Need the sexy hire.
Yeah.
Despite being a cash-poor franchise.
You gotta get the name in there.
Yeah.
So I guess if that's the thing, good luck. I don't know what you're going to do with that franchise, though.
McDaniels and Mark Davis, though, in the same room doesn't seem to connect.
It doesn't. And I don't know what they're going to do with David Carr. I mean, I imagine he's going to be the quarterback.
Derek Carr.
Either one. Either one. None of them are winning fucking Super Bowls. I guess he's going to be the guy, but what else do you do with that team?
Is Derek Carr just a more successful Kirk Cousins?
Is he more successful?
That's a great question. Is he more successful?
Right?
No.
Are they kind of on the same level, maybe?
He's got better eyelashes.
Yeah, that's about it.
He's got better tats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But neither of them are winning Super Bowls. The hardest thing about the NFL, though, is there's such a big gap between like good quarterbacks and like shitty ones. I don't know who your other option is, because there's not really anybody in this draft that's going to step in and be like, all right, great. They're going to be the next Joe Burrow of this draft.
Yeah, you don't like a small quarterback, so I don't think Matt Corral's going to do it for you.
No. I don't think Corral's going to do it.
Kenny Pickett's like 34 years old already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody was going to have some success, it'd probably be Pickett first, but
yeah.
But that's about it. But I guess if you're a Raiders fan, big deal. I don't know. The Eric Bieniemy thing, a lot of people were talking about yesterday, whether or not he should be a head coach and why isn't he getting the jobs. I said this last week. He fucking interviews terribly. Everybody behind the scenes has said it. But just based on what he's done with the Chiefs, why not give that guy a fucking flyer?
Yeah, I mean, he's been floating around for a few years.
Yeah. The other one is Jim Harbaugh to the Vikings. That is the latest there.
Did the Jaguars ever hire Leftwich or no?
No. They haven't hired anybody.
Oh.
But he's interviewed with like five different teams.
Right, yep. But he was supposed to be the guy for Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they just didn't do it yet?
Not yet. They're still interviewing guys. There was somebody else that fucking just got hired that was just interviewed with Jacksonville. The guy for the Bears, Flubervus or whatever the fuck his name is. He interviewed with Jacksonville. And I don't know whether or not they thought they were going to hire him or whatever, so they ended up picking him off. The Bears did. But yeah, why isn't Byron Leftwich the name the coach of Jacksonville? That makes zero sense. It makes zero sense.
Wait, didn't somebody take the Houston job as well?
Yes, somebody did take the Texans job. I forget who it is.
But all these hires, they're not
sexy
names.
Oh, no.
Other than McDaniels.
Interviewing.
Oh, Brian Flores is going back for a second interview. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
He was great with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't know why he's gone.
I don't either.
Flores should still be with the Dolphins.
Dumbest shit of all time.
That's why they're the Dolphins.
Yes. So if you're the Texans, this is a no-brainer, one would think. What do you do with Deshaun Watson?
Cut him.
Yeah, is he going to jail? What's happening?
No one knows.
Well, they'll know because his trial starts in 2 weeks.
Does it really?
Yeah, it starts in February sometime.
Like, no shit, I didn't know that.
To leave February. So I don't know how long it's going to take, but I doubt a civil trial is going to last until next fucking football season.
Yeah.
And I don't know what is... I don't know what right the league has to any of that information to... Because it's not a criminal trial, right?
Right.
So unless he outright admits to something, it's still hearsay and a judge or a jury deciding whether or not they want to award damages to somebody. But that's not a criminal conviction.
No.
You know what I mean? And penalize. I mean, he can make the argument right now that the Houston Texans have already de facto suspended him for an entire year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Even though he was getting paid, right, the whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was still on the roster. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, he was the third string guy on the roster. He just wasn't ever there. But
They wouldn't let him dress.
Yeah, but that doesn't, like, just because they pay you for your work doesn't mean they're absolved of keeping you from working. It is a de facto suspension. It's just a suspension with pay.
Yeah.
Right? So he's got... If the NFL tries to penalize him after this, unless it's something fucking crazy, I think they're in a lot of trouble. I think they're in a lot of trouble right now. Like, he could file a lawsuit against them pretty easily, but I think he's trying to get one legal hurdle out of the way before he gets into another one.
Yeah, and if they paid him for the entire year, what could you file for?
Suspension without pay. Like, lost wages.
No, he got paid.
No, suspension with pay is still lost wages in the future, right? Like, I had the ability to demonstrate.
Incentives.
Yeah, well, incentives for sure. There's incentives in the contract, but also the ability to demonstrate your proficiency at the job and get future jobs. Like, they've fucked his ability to get jobs in the future now, and that's a pretty common lawsuit.
Yeah. The rumor was, again, over the weekend that Philly just asked for too much. What's the deal with them and Ben Simmons? Like, why is Philly always asking for so goddamn much in all these trades?
He's an all-star.
What could they have
multiple
asked for?
Multiple-time all-star. Yeah.
What could they have asked for from Sacramento, though, which is where they were talking about?
They asked for the world.
Buddy
and got
Hield.
It. Dude.
Just, I would take it, if I'm Philly, I take that straight up. I take Buddy Hield straight up.
Yeah.
And we need more shooters. I don't know.
He's a 3-and-D guy, too, though. Yeah. He plays really good defense.
Shaq was blowing up Ben Simmons the other day.
Yeah.
Just he was actually pumping up Embiid and just saying Embiid's finally delivering. And I'm like, he wouldn't even say Ben Simmons' name. He's like that other guy on his team.
I watched the game the other night where Embiid had 50 through like three quarters. I mean, it was nuts, yeah, dude.
He's going to be pretty good for the next like 3 years.
He might be MVP.
He would be. Yeah, he would be. He's leading in PER right now.
So pretty close.
But he's got, they need to fucking capitalize now. I don't know why they're being so stupid with this. They need to get anything they can to compete this and next year from Ben Simmons. Otherwise, it's never going to fucking happen for them.
Literally, like, anything, because Ben's never coming back.
Yeah, one, he's never coming back. And then Embiid's window is like 2 more years, maybe. With that kind of body,
it's
not going to last.
He's
so
going to get hurt.
He's you got to get that fucking shit going,
he's
man.
He's cut down on his Shirley Temple intake, okay? He doesn't eat a hamburger before every game.
He was just drinking
anymore.
Like 3 gallons of fucking corn syrup a day and didn't know that there was anything wrong with that.
Well, he just got to America, like, you know, 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, the internet's existed for a long time.
Yeah, but when you get to America, the first thing you want, though, is a nice Shirley Temple.
Yeah, who doesn't like a virgin Shirley Temple?
Ah, it's clean, isn't it?
It is.
It's a clean poolside drink.
But he's gotten it together since he started dating this girl. So,
yeah.
I'm happy for him.
Good for him. Is she white?
Yeah.
Yeah, nailed it. If you're out there at home and you're looking to become an MVP as well, DraftKings is where you're going to want to do that. The moment we've been waiting for since September is finally here. In honor of the big game, DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56, is giving new customers 56-1 odds on either team. Just bet $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in New York, meaning you can bet from almost a third of the country. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, play DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contest for Super Bowl 56. New customers can get a free shot at $1 million top prize with their first deposit. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use promo code BROS, and get 56-1 odds on either team. Bet just $5 to get $280 in free bets if your team wins. That's promo code BROS at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 56. 21 plus minimum age and location requirements do vary by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full list of requirements and state-specific responsible gaming resources. Void where prohibited. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. In Connecticut, call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENEY 467-369. Looking forward to the odds on DraftKings for the big game.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to all of it, to be honest with you.
And I mean,
the pageantry, the magic, the halftime show.
Oh, the halftime
show is going to be worth it this year.
It might be. We'll see.
Dr. Dre,
yeah.
Snoop Dogg, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige, Am I forgetting anyone?
A lot of old heads there, and we'll see how a rap concert holds up.
Do yourself a favor. On the drive home, pop open Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg's Essential List.
Mm-hmm.
That could be a fucking 3-hour concert if they want
it
to be.
For sure, but I'm just saying how it translates to TV. I don't know. The Kendrick I've seen live, Kendrick's great because he plays with a live band.
He does, yeah. Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the other part about it is in LA, so you're getting the best of the best there, mm-hmm. sound tech-wise and all that other shit, so congratulations. I think it's going to be a big show.
Right, it's not like the fraternity house you're watching, like Riff Raff or 21 Savage early on.
OAR?
OAR.
Ours was OAR.
On just one speaker. Or it was always, you know who always played every frat house? Gorilla Zoe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He made a ton of money off that. Don't hate on Gorilla Zoe.
I'm not going to hate on Gorilla Zoe.
He was 30 grand a frat show. Did like 47 of them a year.
I don't even know who the fuck that is.
That's where the real money's at right there.
Well, you charge the frat four times as much as your normal fee.
Yep.
That's like the standard in the music industry.
And if you're the fraternity, you pay it because you want that legendary status across campus to be like, holy shit.
Yeah, no one else is bringing any actual artists to their shows.
No.
Three frats get together. They flip the bill.
It's great. Yep.
I remember looking at the list, and honestly, some of these rappers, their prices weren't that high.
Really?
You can get somebody like notable. You can get like Chingy for like $2,000.
Oh, Chingy's terrible. You can get Trinidad James for like $1,500.
Oh yeah,
Ching-a-ling.
Like, Trinidad James. All he wanted was like a hot meal and just to smoke some J's with you. That's it.
That's all it should be. That's all life should be. College basketball. Flipping over to that. When's Hot Bob back in town?
He'll be here, I think, Thursday.
Okay, you guys are doing a college basketball show at the end of the week.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, because I'm not on that show, who's the favorite this year? Auburn came in at number one again for the second consecutive week.
I mean, Auburn looks to be the team this year, but I mean, it's kind of wide open. It's not like last year. There's probably six teams that can win it this year, not instead of two.
They just gave Bruce Pearl a $50 million deal to stay for the next 10 years. So
no, it's always... Glad a good guy could get a win for once, you know? A good guy like Bruce Pearl.
Such a dirtbag.
He is.
And now he's down at Auburn. Just cash and checks, mm-hmm. that guy. I don't know what to think of this. Is it as wide open as we think this year?
Yeah.
For who can win this?
Well, I mean, there's definitely four or five teams for sure that can win, I think.
I don't believe in Kentucky. I watched that Kentucky game over the weekend.
Gonzaga's still good. They don't have the star power they did last year, but I don't think...
No, they still got Timmy.
I mean, last year they had some fucking athletes. Two of them are now in the NBA. I think that they're still really good.
Holmgren's going to be a lottery pick, so...
Yeah, probably.
And Timmy is like, probably I guess, most well-rounded college basketball
player. Christian, I don't believe he's Holmgren. He's Christian Leitner, though, right? Like, it's... People know that they're getting, like, a third-round draft pick worth out of him.
It's just, you know, when's the last great white American player? Like, who was it?
Tyler Hero, probably. Hero!
I don't think he's white.
He's white.
Hero's white, but, like, he's also white. Not, like, that good anymore.
J.J. Redick.
He had one good season.
Yeah, Tyler?
J.J.'s fine. I mean, they're...
Tyler Hansbrough.
Shaq the other night said, like it or not, he's the best player in the Miami Heat over Jimmy Butler.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Shaq is white.
No, he's definitely...
I would honestly argue for Duncan Robinson being the better white guy on the Miami Heat.
Gross. Look at Tyler's numbers. I mean, he's putting up points this year.
Either way, Temi is like a third round draft pick, right? Maybe mid.
So undrafted?
No, like,
I think that's what I'm saying.
End of second.
Like, there's only two. There's
only two rounds.
There's only... I'm talking about value once he gets to the NBA. Like, it's going to be a guy that you would have... Like, I don't know if he's going to get drafted.
Big body, no, he big might, body that he, gives you minutes, and that's
he,
about
he
it.
He might because of his name. That's what I mean. But the value you're ultimately going to get out of him, I think, is like a fucking G League guy.
But I'm trying to think. I'm like, Holmgren, what is he going to be? Like,
he's going to be nothing. Probably, I think he's going to be a bust.
I don't know. If he can put some weight on, he plays good defense, and he can shoot the ball, and he's long.
Tall
he's
spot,
long. Yeah. It's like wingspan is, what, 7'6" or some shit?
But that's why I think Bol Bol is going to be a piece of shit, too. Like, I just don't believe
Yeah, but they
guys.
Don't have See, nearly the same kind of...
White Bol Bol.
Yeah.
They don't
white
have,
Bol Bol.
They don't have the same body type at all.
Tall and skinny never equate. The only person who's been able to do it, I get two. Durant, who's been able to overcome that, and then Kevin Garnett. But Kevin Garnett eventually put on some muscle.
Yeah, I mean, Durant couldn't bench 185 when he came into the
league. That was the craziest fucking shit I've ever
seen.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny.
I mean, I've never seen a fucking videotape like that where I was just like, yeah. Are you kidding?
I guess it depends on how much Chet Holmgren wants it, right? Like, you're 7 foot, you can shoot, but are you going to be like a stretch five or are you going to be a four?
Is that rain out here, by the way?
It is rain, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's been pouring all day.
UCLA can win this year. Obviously, Cronin's got the boys. He has everybody back from last year.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the top five, we got Auburn, Gonzaga, UCLA, Purdue, and Kentucky. I watched the Ohio State-Purdue game right before the Cincinnati Bengals game. Ohio State lost on another buzzer beater. They've lost three games.
Arizona could win this year.
Yeah, Arizona could win.
They're a surprise team. Baylor
can win.
Yeah, but it's so hard to win two in a row.
Yeah.
I know.
Holy shit, man. I don't know. Baylor's good. I mean, they were top five until they lost to Alabama the other day.
Yeah.
Although it was at Alabama.
I like Wisconsin, but like just saying Wisconsin's your national champion, I don't see it.
They're number 11.
Yeah.
Me neither.
Like, what about
Frank Kaminsky's not there. Sam Decker's not there.
What about Arizona? I mean, they've been
Davison's still there.
Yeah, Arizona's number 7.
Until they lost a close one in Tennessee, but before that,
Arizona also lost to UCLA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yep.
Why has no one mentioned Duke?
That's their only two losses, by the way, I think.
I don't think Duke's got it. This is Coach K's last year.
So there'll be some fucking
win one for
magic
the Gepper,
bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I mean, he'll get every single call. Paulo Bencero will just like go off for the tournament. That's Duke's going to win the national championship because it's fucking Coach K. There's going to be some fucking back alley deals. And he's the fucking devil. So
I could see them going to the Final Four just based on that. Exactly what you're
maybe.
Saying.
I think Kentucky could probably win, though, right? I mean, it's just they're streaky. They fucking win when they win, and if they don't, they look like fucking dog shit. But that's if you can come into the tournament with the right momentum.
They got mostly upperclassmen, too, other than Ty Washington, who's a really good freshman. But
I mean, that's kind of different for them. Usually mm-hmm.
It's all freshmen, one and done.
Two, three freshmen, and then nobody else.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It'll be a fun season. Now is the point where I start to fucking put more time into college basketball because gambling wise, football is my go-to.
Yeah.
And then college basketball is after that. I don't bet on the NBA on a daily basis. Right. I think it's too fucking hard.
Never hockey.
Cause it's like, great. Everybody can fucking tie.
You run into a hot goalie.
Yeah. And everybody can fucking tie. And I don't bet on Major League Baseball, but I do bet a lot on college basketball once the football is over, and that's
okay.
Where I'll be.
We got another sport for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm coming over.
Yeah.
What's the other sport?
Golf.
Oh, boy. Can we get the applause, please? There you go. Give him two. Oh, there it is.
He's been sitting here for 45 minutes waiting to pull his own chain.
No.
It's fine. Great. You made me $4,000.
Is the chain out?
Yeah.
Pull the chain out.
I actually don't have the chain today.
Why?
I was wrestling before this.
He got robbed.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he sold it to make that bet.
You have to change the chain before you go into the ring?
Well, you can't walk into Delco with that thing exposed.
I just didn't want to get ripped.
Cut your fucking head off.
Well, look, you did it. You won us all a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So I was a little later, not much. I got 70 to 1. I only put $20 on it. I won $1,400. Dan, and you posted this up in Drinker Bros. Mm-hmm. Dan put $50 on it and won $4,000.
Yep.
How much did you put and how much did you win?
I don't discuss my finances publicly.
Yeah. That's well worth it. That's well worth the applause there. Was it over $50?
It was $50.
It was $50. Yeah. That's great. So you won four. Did you get the same odds as he did?
80 to 1.
Yeah.
So you won fucking $4,000. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I imagine your real bookie is probably dodging you today.
I haven't gotten the Venmo yet. So
would you like to shout him out on air, Dan?
I don't even know if it's his real name, really. it's all through Venmo, Telegram.
I used to bet with a bookie, old school bookie back in the day in L.A., because none of this shit existed, right? DraftKings and all this shit. The guy's name, he was a white guy who wanted to be a rapper, and his name was Casual T. So there was a double entendre for Casual T and just Casual T-shirts.
Well, my bookie's last name is Smith, so...
Sure it is.
Right.
The guy that the Casual T that I bet with, I had to go and see him in person. I couldn't get Venmo and shit. Like I said, this didn't exist. So I went down one night. It's a terrible story. He'd been shot, so he was he had a sling on. White guy, by the way. Right. Just a very Paul Wallish, you know? And I go down there, and there's about 30 limousines. Remember those black ones, those stretch limousines?
Yeah.
Yeah, lined up. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck is this? That was how he was laundering money, was through this limousine service. And when he walked into his place, he had decked out the shitty downtown apartment in L.A. And it wasn't an apartment. It was like a more like a warehouse. Mm-hmm. And it was all recording booths for rappers. And there was just endless drugs going in and out of those places. So that's the type of bookie shit you love. And I miss that guy. If he's still alive, I don't think he probably is. Casualty, just know you're a real homie, but...
It's way more lame now, right?
Is it?
It's literally just kind of, you're building up a trust with one man that you Venmo back and forth. And sometimes it's usually your Venmo and people that lose or people that win. And it's just kind of like, yeah, it's all just via text. That's it.
So my question is this, and this is why I bring this up and tell this huge story. With somebody who is as good at picking golf odds as you are, this guy has to hate you at one point. I think we ran the numbers last year. You had won 7 out of 49 tournaments, which is basically won every 7 tournaments. Now, the most impressive thing about this weekend's tournament is not only did neither of us know who this fucking guy was or even heard his name before, he's never won before.
First PGA Tour win.
Yeah, yeah, and you picked
him. He's 37, too. So it's not like he's never won and he's 25.
He's 37 years old?
Yeah.
He's old. He's been around.
Jesus. I only did it because you picked it and that was it. But even then, I still didn't trust it enough and I went through 20 bucks on
But, so golf is weird, right? Like, if you pay attention week in and week out, you know who's playing well. You know the course history. You can kind of do the math. And, like, Luke List, before this week, he was, like, top 10, top 5, top 10, top 5.
Yeah.
So he's been playing well. And I don't understand why he was 80-1 because the field wasn't that good.
It wasn't good, but it.
Rahm.
John Rahm was in it. Rahm was Day, scary. Jason Day was in it.
Jay Day eagles that from.
Yeah, dude.
What was it? I think it was like 15 or 16 from the fairway.
Yep.
15, yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, Zalatoris, I never had faith in Zalatoris. He's never won. B, can't putt for shit.
No, he choked at big time.
Yeah.
And so when they got into the playoff, I felt good. I was fine.
We were screaming at the TV. I was about 5 seconds behind you, by the way. So when we were changing text messages, I was like, oh, shit. I didn't know he hit that birdie in.
And I mean, that shot, the third shot in the playoff hole where he puts it within like a foot.
Uh-huh.
That was.
Yeah, that was a great shot. What was that from like 130 or 140 yards out or something? That was a great shot.
And that's that pin location. That's like classic Sunday pin at Torrey.
Yeah.
You had that lake right in front. If you spin it back too far, it goes into the water.
Uh-huh.
So it's a dangerous
shot. Yeah, Day went off the back of the green on that one in his. And that was pretty much the end for him.
So we're thinking about giving Delco Dan his own segment of just 10 minutes a week where you can break down the golf tournaments to say who you're going to bet.
Might as well put it on social.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All of it. Because at this point, you're on fire. Like, it's fucking hard to get somebody like that to win. I mean, Jesus Christ. Luke List. Yeah. Have you already looked at this weekend's?
It's Pebble. Pebble Beach.
Pro-Am?
Pro-Am.
Okay.
Right. Field's terrible.
Is it really?
One of the worst fields because there's also a competitive event in Saudi Arabia that the PGA Tour doesn't like to talk about. It's often referred to as like the bone saw.
No shit. Why?
Well, A, there's a lot of, you know, problems with Saudi Arabia as a country. PGA Tour doesn't really want to have that kind of...
With Khashoggi?
Yeah. You don't really want to have that rap or like you don't have to deal with the politics of Saudi Arabia, but they pay out the ass. So they get all these big names to go over and just with appearance fees. So most of the big names are going to be in Saudi Arabia this weekend that you won't see in like a single second of because, you know, they don't really want to talk about it. PGA Tour, Pebble Beach, only real big names this weekend are like Jordan Spieth, Cantley. Trying to think.
Zalatoris is 18-1.
Zalatoris will be playing. When you have that kind of heartbreak, I would steer clear of Zalatoris.
Yeah, for sure.
Like he was so close to his first pro win that, I don't think.
It's if anything, carry over.
If I would touch Zalatoris this week, maybe miss the cut. Like,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Rose is in this at 28-1. He had a pretty decent weekend. It just got away from him there in the second half of that last day.
Someone that has been trending that is probably, honestly, he's one of the favorites, which I don't really like. Mav McNealy.
Maverick?
Maverick McNeil.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was looking at him. Him as a top 10, I think, might not even be plus money. Last two tournaments at Pebble, I think he's been fifth and second. And he's been playing really well. I was also looking kind of maybe at a flyer on Scott Stallins. I don't know what he's at right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you want, I'll sit with you Wednesday, and we'll do a 10-minute preview of this and your new segments, and we'll go through, and you can pick. You can tell everybody who to pick. There was so many people who would bet on it in Drinking Bros Sports. If you're not a member of the Facebook page, subscribe. It is free. I actually put my real bets in there, so you get to see what happens before the games. That 13-point teaser won again this week. That was the fourth week in a row that I've won that in the NFL. So you actually get to see it. And some people who don't listen to every single show, I want them to be able to find these golf picks.
Okay, so we'll have the official picks on Wednesday.
Correct.
With the, all right, but names I'm looking at, Matt McNally, Charlie Hoffman.
Okay.
Love Chucky.
Chucks.
Scott Stallins, I just saw, is 125-1.
That's a lot of money.
Putting $50 on that.
Always plays well at Pebble. He's also an Onnit guy. He's a big he's an extension of 10th Planet. So I feel like we're supporting our own Giorgio. He's a big fitness guy.
Oh yeah, look at that. Look at your wrestling coach now. You know, I'm really giving you the cheers and smiles today. Big fan, Giorgio.
He's the star of the network.
He is. Mm-hmm. Today's his day. Again, there was 30 to 40 Drinking Bros who bet on Luke List and won a fuck ton of money.
He's our Joe Burrow.
Congratulations. He is today for sure.
Obviously Day's playing well, so I think he'll probably continue that. He's got a good course history at Pebble. But yeah, Wednesday,
he's just a solid player in general.
Wednesday we'll have the official picks. Yeah, no, he's kind of been in the wilderness recently, but he's starting to get it together. There was a point that one season where he won the PGA Championship where he was the best player in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it like wasn't like he destroyed everyone, and then he just went away. Like, yeah, he just disappeared.
Gone.
But he might be back. He's only 34. And he feels like he should be much older than he is.
He's got plenty of time. His name's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
So, Dan, I want to switch over to you. Baseball Hall of Fame just announced their class. It is one guy. It is David Ortiz. Barry Bonds is now out. He's reached the 10-year limit, and so did Roger Clemens. He is out. So what do you think should have happened during that?
I think that nobody really cares about the Hall of Fame anymore because of the way they're treating it.
It's the way it feels, right?
Yeah. The Hall of Fame is a museum. It's not a fucking club to honor somebody's moral compass necessarily. It's a museum for the game. The best players from a particular period in the game, that's who goes into the hall, whether they're crazy ass racists who try to fucking stab people on the field like mm-hmm. Ty Cobb, or whether they're all of the people that are in the Hall of Fame that yelled horrible things, right, at Jackie Robinson in the 1950s. All of those people are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
But Barry Bonds isn't, and fucking Roger Clemens. And
Barry Bonds never got shot. So,
well, yeah, not that we know of.
Yeah. He took shot some with
shots. Different kinds of
yeah.
shots.
Yeah, yes, different
but,
kinds
but,
of shots.
But, I mean, Barry Bonds had to admit to shit in court because he got caught. Roger Clemens never did. And Big Papi he tested positive for something.
Yes. And, right? And so his name was on the Belko list that came out.
The Mitchell Report.
Yeah.
Originally.
But, yeah. Who was Barry Bonds' fall guy that went to jail?
Anderson.
That
Greg Anderson.
Did he ever like thank him or anything? Like, so, hey, you went to jail
I'm
for
sure
me.
I'm sure he thought him with some money.
He did with a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so he did 5 years for Bonds in a federal prison. And Bonds and him had an agreement financially and said, look, if you take this bid, you're good to go. Because otherwise, they would have given up Bonds.
What's
your
price?
And then he could have been, man, I...
To go to jail for 5 years, what's your price?
5 years in a federal prison in California? Because you know you're probably not getting isolation because you're not famous enough.
You also don't want isolation for 5 years.
I think I would. I would want isolation for 5 years. I don't want a roommate. Because either you get somebody chatty, somebody who snores, or somebody who's jacking off all the time, or taking fucking horrific dumps. That would be my worst fucking nightmare. I think I would rather be alone. Me personally, I think I could write and do other shit, and I'd be fine with it. What I couldn't be fine with is some fucking random roommate who's living with you in a 12 by 12 cell.
So what's the number?
For 5 years?
Yeah.
If my boss is Bonds, I put that at $2 million a year, and I go 10.
Oh, okay. That's lower than I thought.
Well, I mean, look, I'm trying to think of Greg Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
$10 million is way more than he was making as a personal trainer.
Yeah.
And Bonds had it. Let's face it. He had it. And that was Bonds' way out of going to jail. Because if you remember, I think it was Marion Jones who had gotten popped for steroids. And they made her serve. So when she went before the court and Senate and all that shit, she went to trial. She had to do a full year in federal prison. She was a fucking Olympic champion for.
She was
six.
A multi-time, like she was like a 4 or 5 medalist that year. Right?
Oh yeah,
she was,
dude.
She was the face of U.S. track and field, and had broken some records, I believe,
yep.
in that Olympics beforehand. So like, I think they'd kind of made an example of her.
I think I need to give up 5 years of my life right now. I need 5 for 5. I need 25.
$25 million.
That's a lot, Dan.
Five years of my 30s.
A million a year? You couldn't do that. Couldn't do it for five.
No. Are you 30 right now?
I'm 30 now. Yeah.
So you'd be 35 when you got out. You wouldn't, and you'd 36. Be worth $10
million. 36, really.
$10 million.
I turned 31 in May.
Okay, so 10 million.
20, I think 20 is the lowest. I'll go.
I don't see Bonds, because he's notoriously cheap. I don't see him paying 20.
Probably not, no.
It's better than going to jail, isn't it, Barry?
It is, but I guarantee
like
you.
Like, Barry Bonds has zero leverage in that situation.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. So I'm sure, but here's you're trying to put yourself in the mindset of Greg Anderson.
Yeah.
Imagine a personal trainer just shoots people up full of steroids. He was probably maxing out at, you know, 80 to 100 a year.
Do you think there was a negotiation process?
Yes.
Arbitration?
I honestly do. And I think it was probably between the lawyers, and then an NDA was signed, and that was it. I really believe that. I know that sounds fucked up, but like that's the only reason I can imagine a guy going away for that many years and not flipping or saying anything to the feds whatsoever, and then coming out of jail and denying all interviews.
Also, why is that 5 years in prison?
For doing steroids?
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I don't really care about Bonds that much. I mean, I think it's weird that that David Ortiz, who is a confirmed PED user, got in,
mm-hmm.
but none of these other dudes have, like McGuire, Sosa, any of these guys.
The one I can't figure out is Schilling. So Schilling is also off the ballot.
Schilling is the only guy that's off the ballot now who wasn't involved in any kind of on-the-field controversy, right? He's being blackballed from the Baseball Hall of Fame because of his political beliefs. Hard stop.
That's it.
And he's a 3-time World Series winner. He's a fucking he's one of the best pitchers of that generation and the best pitcher in the playoffs of that generation.
Mm-hmm.
It's onesie twosie with him and Pedro, but he was the best.
Yeah.
And that shit's fucking wild. I mean, he's got 80 wins above replacement in his career, dominated in the fucking playoffs, had some of the most like spectacular performances in the playoffs. He had a season with Arizona where he had a couple of, he only had like 2 or 3 more walks than he had fucking wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's never, nobody's ever even come close to something like that before.
He was incredible, and there was no steroids. There was no scandals other than losing all of your money on a video game.
And the fake blood.
You still think the blood is fake? I don't think it's fake.
You don't think it's fake?
No. God, it looks real to me.
All right.
Yeah. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, the socks in the Hall of Fame, you can go do a DNA test on it.
They should.
It's true.
We've had Homeboy on, the forensic guy, the world-renowned forensic guy. We'll get him. Yeah.
Yeah, but Schilling is the only, he's, like, it's easy to say people are making decisions based on the purity of the game and blah, blah, blah when it comes to PEDs and some of the guys. But in reality, the average baseball fan would say something like, well, it seems like they're just picking the dudes they didn't like and keeping them out.
Right.
Guys that they were either too exposed, like McGuire, Sosa, or guys who had a frosty relationship with the press, like Bonds, for example. Whereas Big Poppy is a member of the press now, which begs the question, is Alex Rodriguez going to get in at some point?
Now, does Sammy Sosa have a better chance into the Hall of Fame being a white man now?
No, less probably these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Schilling is the only one whose political beliefs seem to have excluded him from the Hall of Fame, which, you know, he said that he and his family stopped thinking about it. I know that that's not true.
Yeah.
I would never stop thinking about that. But, and he'll get elected by the Veterans Committee later this year. But if I was him, I would turn it down, and I would ask them to keep any of my shit out of the Hall of Fame. I wouldn't dignify those motherfuckers.
No,
they don't deserve it. They've mismanaged the curation of the museum, the living museum of baseball, and they don't deserve to have that right anymore. And all these stupid fucking weasel writers who have never played baseball in their lives in any kind of meaningful way, judging who does and doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. Like, fuck you, dude.
So how do you clean this system up as far as the voting goes?
There's no system to be cleaned up. They own that. That's like saying, how do you clean up the DNC or the RNC? They those are two private organizations. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
So it'll just be shitty forever?
Yeah, just stop going to fucking Cooperstown. It's out of the way anyways. Build something in a place I actually want to go to, and I'll go there.
You don't want to go to Cleveland? No. No, it's in New York. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cleveland is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'll flee to the Cleve.
Gross.
Cleveland rocks.
Yeah.
No, it certainly doesn't. Nobody.
I saw Tracy Morgan there once.
Where at? In Cleveland?
Yes.
Was he lost?
Why were you in Cleveland?
He's fleeing to the Cleve.
Nobody flees to the Cleve. No one flees to the Cleve ever.
I'm just sneaking these by Dan real quick.
Yeah, that's fine.
30 Rock season 5.
No. That's season 2, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, I think baseball itself is almost broken. Manfred needs to be fucking fired. This whole voting bullshit needs to be fired. Just even the statistics of it, trying to get 75% of the votes is fucking ridiculous. And you still have guys, like 10 years isn't long enough for some of these people. Why is it a 10-year cutoff?
I have no idea.
I don't understand any of it. Because you take Drew Pearson from the Cowboys, who played in the 70s. He finally got into the NFL Hall of Fame 20 fucking years later, 25 years later, after, you know, his thing was supposed to have been maxed out. Like, open it up. It makes no fucking sense.
It seems like it's just in part of ongoing cultural decay, to be honest. And it's probably going to end the same way that the Hollywood studios have, where people in America get tired of their bullshit, but Latin America and Asia still love it. So It's going to start being geared towards Latin American and Asian audiences, and we'll lose touch with baseball altogether. That's what I think is going
to
happen.
That's what I think, too, because you're starting to run out of American athletes to root for. Mm-hmm. And then the ones that are the best in baseball are eating up all the good shit.
It'd be good for American soccer. Because those are two very similar body types.
Mm-hmm.
The professional soccer player and the professional baseball player are a lot closer in both build and stature than any other two sport, like professional sports on earth. So I think that would be good for American soccer. I love baseball. I'll watch it if it's all fucking Japanese dudes playing. I don't give a shit.
Speaking of which, the Japanese dude just got put on the cover of MLB, the video game. So that's your dude. That's the dude for this year.
That's Ben Verlander's dude. He's got like the biggest I told Ben, I think it was at the All-Star game, like, dude, you got to stop fucking with Ohtani so much. Your lady's going to fucking leave you.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, she threatened me the other day. Like, I bought a bunch of flowers and shit and showed up, and she's like, oh, are those for me? You're like, I got to go meet Shohei. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This is, he hit 40 home runs. What are you talking
about? He's going to be on the cover.
Honey, did you hit 40 home runs, bitch? Oh. That's what he didn't say that.
Didn't he date Alexandria Daddario?
Who?
I think he did for a while.
Ben Verlander?
I don't know who he's dating.
Ohtani.
No, Verlander.
Oh yeah.
Oh, not anymore. I don't know. Okay. I don't know what her name is. But
that whole family is slyly pimped, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's not forget his brother is married to Kate Upton, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
So
the cat daddy video.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, dude. You know? Did you ever see their leaked nudes?
Yeah, where Verlander is just shirtless and just kind of like with weird jeans, just kind of like being awkward and holding him like this.
Yeah, did you see the one with cum all over?
On Upton?
Yeah.
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 I mean, why don't you lead with that, Dan? That's pretty important.
The Verlander one's funnier.
Oh, fuck, dude. Last but not least, another top recruit for Oklahoma is out. I don't know why all these fucking kids are leaving this school. Is Brent Venables poison or something? Like, what the fuck is going on? That's a good hire, I think.
Yeah, it is. But, like, they didn't sign up to play for Venables.
But this is the recruit for 2023, and he's out of there. This is wide receiver DeAndre Moore, number 11 prospect in the entire class, is out of there. I can't even keep track of how many fucking people this is at this point. They're losing everybody at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
If you're a fan, you've got to be pissed.
Auburn's the real issue right now. Auburn's falling apart with Harsin.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be gone. He might. They might fire Harrison before the season. We don't know.
Shut the fuck up. That'll never happen.
It'd be really late, but like he's like, but from the reports I'm hearing from Auburn, like Harrison is just does not have anything under control.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's still Auburn. I mean, if they win a fucking natty in basketball, people will forget. I'm kidding. They won't. Auburn's disgusting when it comes to football.
Yep.
Absolutely disgusting. We appreciate you joining us. Give us a 5-star on iTunes. We're also on Spotify, right? There, you can rate on Spotify now, so click a 5-star on that. iTunes, just leave a quick review and a 5-star for Drinking Bros Sports. And again, we'll do Dan's weekly golf segment so you guys can get in on some of this money. A lot of thank yous being thrown out your way. Mm-hmm. It's weird to see. It's weird to see. Papa Giorgio, do we have any fights coming up here?
No, we got a little break right now.
Why is that?
Set pay-per-view.
Yeah, just no real big pay-per-views right now. There might be a UFC, not this weekend, but the weekend after next weekend. Like a Vegas
There's
Friday.
There's probably a fight night.
There was one that's coming up in Houston. Who is that? Somebody's going to the Honda Center.
It's 271.
Yeah, it's 271.
I'm for sure Derek Lewis is going to be on that card, right?
He's fighting Tai Tuivasa.
Yeah, Tai Tuivasa.
Yeah, oh, this is the Whitaker Adesanya 2.
Yep.
Yeah, that'll be good. Derek Lewis fighting Tai.
Ty's the guy that does the shoeies.
Yeah.
That's next weekend.
He's fun.
Jared Cannonier's fighting Derek Brunson, so that'd be real interesting.
So that's like a number one contender fight fight Whitaker.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird weekend, Whitaker. Though. It's a weird, like, are you swimming in the wake of the Super Bowl traffic, or are you competing against it? You know what I mean? Like, how many people are going to stay up until midnight, 1 a.m. to watch a fucking UFC fight when the Super Bowl is the next day? I don't know the answer.
Yeah, it's a whole.
I know what the days are.
And then
it's a whole weekend party series. Yeah. You're with your bros. You got some special activities.
Waste management's that weekend.
No.
What channel is the Super Bowl on? NBC or ABC?
You know, I don't know who has it this year. I'm hoping it's Romo.
It's not CBS, right?
If it's Al Michaels and Collinsworth, I'm going to fucking lose my mind.
I don't mind Al Michaels, but we can, and Collinsworth, that's only, we can do something about that. We'll go find that motherfucker.
Now, here's a guy. Fuck.
Hang on. It's, la, la, la.
Is it Fox? It might
what
be Fox.
What the fuck? It's not even on here.
Where the Super Bowl is?
Yeah.
It might be on Fox this year. I think.
It's actually behind a paywall. It's on Peacock.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be surprised.
That'd be funny.
Let's see where this is, this fucking game. NBC. Yeah, it's going to be Collinsworth and Al Michaels.
Yeah, it's on the cock.
You're fucked.
NBC.
Big fan of the cock.
Big fan of the cock.
Yeah.
So ESPN won't have licensing rights to it. If it was ABC, this would make a lot of sense to me because they own Disney. Disney owns ABC. They own UFC. They own fucking ESPN, right?
Yeah.
Well, they don't own UFC, but they own the streaming rights. So that would make a lot of sense. This seems weird. Why didn't they do it this weekend?
People be out and about. I don't really mind it. I mean, the Super Bowl's free, so you're not asking people to pay for it. I think you'd be fine. And then, look, everybody's already reserved the fact that they're going to be fucked up on Monday morning anyways. Might as well bang it and have some sports.
I could also see Dana not thinking about the Super Bowl at all.
At all. What does he care?
Yeah.
Again, it's on a separate night, so fine.
Well, one of the big things that happens at UFC events is that fucking there's all kinds of weird celebrities and shit there. I just wonder if you're competing at that point for all the traffic that's going
to
happen that weekend.
You should have tried to have it in LA.
Yeah.
Same weekend. Just put everything together.
But he doesn't want anything there with like any form of mask or mandates or any of that shit.
They just had the last pay-per-view in Anaheim.
Did they really?
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was fine.
Because I saw they cut to Gavin Newsom yesterday.
Him and Magic Johnson?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not wearing masks, dude.
Yeah.
Just chilling. Just chilling.
Yeah, he and Magic are both getting fucking torched for that today.
Yeah.
Also in attendance in their booth was San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who completely fucked that city up. And Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, who fucked that city up. So Magic, you're kind of a cunt, dude. What are you doing?
He needs him.
Like, pay attention. He doesn't need any of those guys. He's worth $500 million.
Yeah, but he still needs him for those zoning rights for the stadiums and all that shit. Magic is always trying to go bigger and better. I remember when I was in LA, he bought like 35 TGI Fridays.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called, and then a bunch of movie theaters. And it was called Magic Johnson's Movie Theaters, too. So he owns a lot of real estate in LA.
Also, you can't silence Magic Johnson. He chose being able to tweet over the LA Laker job.
Yeah.
So he could tweet stuff like, wow, what a game by the Bengals.
He does that all the time, by
all
the way.
The time. He just says things that already happened. He has no input. He has no intake. It's just, wow, Burrow's, what a game by Burrow.
Yeah. He still loves it. He still likes to be a part of it. Him and OJ.
Mm-hmm.
OJ's got a great Twitter, though.
Right.
Can't wait to see who he's picking. Still hoping to get him on the show at one point, you know?
Is that the
talking about
the
anything
ultimate,
but the murders?
Is that our last show?
Yeah. I think that'd be a walk-off. I even had friends of mine. Dan and I joked about it on air one day. I even had like close friends of mine from college be like, hey, dude, I don't think that's a good idea. I think they would probably get you out of there for life. He was found innocent. It's like Deshaun Watson.
I know, but he might take our stuff.
He might get it back.
He can try. I'll beat that old man to death.
Didn't he what?
Didn't he lose the civil suit?
Yes, he lost the civil suit.
It's just like half and half. He's 1-1.
No.
Yeah, but then he got to write the book, so.
Yeah, he got to write the book.
But he can only keep proceeds from that from Florida.
Exactly. By the way, Greg LaMontagne, I think he's coming to the Seltzer Party, 8%. We're going to be doing tickets for it, $20, all you can drink seltzers. It's going to be a long fucking day. You guys had asked for it, so we're putting that in place. WTF, join us for the Super Bowl. We will be there live. You can thank Delco Dan in real life if you took his golf bets this week. He loves hugs.
Yeah.
Or whatever the opposite of that is. So
just spit in my mouth. I don't care.
Yeah. Who cares? It's Texas. Thanks for joining us today. For D'Anthony, D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.
Welcome to Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection. This is the place where Black is the main character, where we don't jump through hoops just to hear our voice and can fall in love with illuminating documentaries like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey.
I'm just a hard worker that's trying to survive.
Enjoy the animated series, The Second Best Hospital in the Galaxy.
All doctors report immediately!
Where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction.
Welcome home, baby!
Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love.
I want my music to unify people.
And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop.
This is the cleanest police car I've ever been in my life.
And BMF.
You're about to take over the whole nation.
Explore Prime Video's Culture-Rated Collection and enjoy old school greats and new school hits. Prime Video. Find your happy place. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.